Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we are in Parashat Emor. Okay, Parashat Emor is also talking about bringing sacrifices, and also talking about being holy, as last week. And one of the interesting things is on the beginning. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Emor al Kohanim bnei Aaron ve'amarta alehem. Tell the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and tell them. Why twice? Emor ve'amarta. You can say, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Emor la Kohanim bnei Aaron, lenefesh lo itama be'amav. You should not impure yourself or be in tuma because you are Kohanim. But why is the Torah telling us, say to them, and then, and you should say to them? Why twice? Why is it repeated? So there are a lot of explanations, and one of them is really a big lesson for us. Sometimes in life we want to educate our kids, family, and it doesn't go so easy. So we give up. And the Torah is telling us, you shouldn't give up. Because you can never know what is going, another effort, what is it is going to do. And sometimes you don't see it even now. You see it only in the future. And here also, what is exactly the problem with the Kohanim? For example, a Kohen, he, in order to eat the holy stuff that he has to do, the Kodashim, he has to stay purified all the time. He has to be pure. He cannot touch things. Now imagine to yourself a family of Kohanim living in a place, a normal place, and the children are playing with the kids outside, and you know, he is an insect, a dead insect, or he's this and that, and they have to be careful, and all the other kids don't have to be careful, because very rarely they need to eat Kodashim. And you're not allowed to eat Kodashim if you're impure. You have to be pure in order to eat Kodashim. But the son of the Kohen, what do they eat at home? All the holy thing that they got from Am Yisrael. It's also Kodashim. So he has to stay pure in order to have his lunch and dinner.
Kodashim is holy.
Yes. It's like a circle. You bring your sacrifice, the part that goes to the Kohen is holy. You know, you cannot just eat it with the... If you're impure, you have to be pure in order to eat it. So this kid has got a problem. You know, he's playing with all the kids and he cannot touch this, he cannot touch this, he has to be very careful. And here you have to tell him again and again that there is a difference between you and the others. And it's not easy, but you don't give up. You say, Emor ve'amarta. That's why you tell it again and again. I think the Rav Zalman Sorotkin says, there are two things in education. There is the school and the home and the street. You can say three things. So you can choose the teachers. You can choose the good school. You can give a good education. But the street, that's a different problem. So, of course, the best thing is to choose a good environment where the neighbors and everybody is like you, and they're keeping the Torah and keeping the mitzvahs, and that's much easier to do it this. But sometimes, unfortunately, you're in a place where people are not like you. For example, they tell this, I think the Rav Toledano was a rabbi, he came to Eretz Israel, and his daughter stayed in France. And he asked her, why is she not coming to do Aliyah, to come to Eretz Israel? So she answered him, says, you see, here, in France, in Paris, when on Shabbos we go and we see car driving and shops open, I tell my kids, those are going. They can open, but we are not allowed, we're Jewish. When I come to Eretz Yisrael, what should I tell my kids? When I see a car driving on Shabbos and the shops are opening and there are Jews doing it. So I prefer to stay in France than to bring my kids to Eretz Yisrael to educate. Of course, that's not exactly the right thing to do, but there is a lot of logic in it. And sometimes we...
You know, excuse me. All you have to do is go on a dati moshav, or go into Yerushalayim in the right areas and...
Yes, but not everybody can allow it himself, and not everybody has the...
Knowledge.
The knowledge. So sometimes you find yourself... Let's say, for example, in Ranana, Baruch Hashem, a lot of people keep Shabbos, but a lot of people don't keep Shabbos. Now, if you educate your kids and the kid sees the cars going on, why do they go? So what you're saying is that I'm Jewish. Oh, well, we're also Jewish. Well, they can go and I can't go. So here is again, the Torah is trying to tell us that even if you're in a bad situation, you don't give up. Because at the end of the day, emor ve'amarta, you say it again and again and it goes in. For example, I told you, I think, I was smoking in a few years ago, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, maybe less. And I didn't smoke a lot, but I had a box of cigarettes in my car. And suddenly I find that, I wish to use a box for a week, sometimes even a week and a half. And sometimes I find every few days the box is empty. What's happening? I didn't smoke all those cigarettes. And then I found that my son started smoking. So what do? You come to your son, you tell him, stop smoking. So he says, you are smoking. So I decided to stop smoking. And he still didn't have it. He says, okay, till the age of 40, you smoke. I will also smoke to the age of 40. What can you say? What can you tell him? But I didn't start smoking again. Because when we're saying emor, saying, it's not only saying in words. You have to give an example. You have to be a sample to your kids. You have to be a sample to your grandchildren. You have to show them this is the way we behave. Even if it doesn't, it looks that it's not successful. And today, my son, he cannot smell of cigarettes. At the end of the day, it got into him. So sometimes we don't see all the results on the spot. But it happens later on. And this is also something we have to take into consideration. And this is what the parasha is telling us. And why is it telling to the Kohanim? Because we can, through them, understand what it means when you are in an environment that is not exactly behaving like you. So you could say, okay, what can I do? That's life. You know, when people come to America, a lot of families stopped keeping Shabbos because they had to work on Shabbos. And a lot of things, it was very difficult to be a religious Jew at that time in the States. It was not easy. But people did it. Not everybody, but people did it. And this is exactly an encouragement to those who are in situations like this. Of course, the best thing is find a good environment, as you say, go to Moshav Dati, go to Jerusalem, go to a place where everybody is Dati. Yes, it's very good, but sometimes you can't do it, you can't help it. So the Torah is telling us, Emor v'amarta, don't give up. You say it again and again and again. Then is there another interesting thing in the Parsha. Talking about Korban Todah, thanksgiving sacrifice. And the Torah is telling us, Lirtzonchem Tizbachu, you have to bring it from your own will. And what do you mean? Is somebody going to say thank you without his own will? So don't say thank, don't bring a sacrifice. If you're already bringing a sacrifice to say thank you to God, so of course you're doing it with a good will. So what exactly is going on here? But the Torah explains to us, you see, when you say thank you to God, sometimes you think you say thank you only for the good that happened to you. But that's wrong. You say thank you also for the problem you had before. And you must understand that at the end of the day, God does everything. So in other words, He brought you into the Torah and He took you out of the Torah. So from this point of view, why should I say thank you? You put me in the problem and now you solve the problem. Okay, thank you very much. For what? So you might bring the sacrifice in, okay, I'm doing it, but really, should I say thank you to you? You hit me 2 minutes ago, and now you are cuddling me? Why did you hit me? But that's exactly the problem. We don't realize that even the problem, for example, now I'm writing the Dvar Torah for Shabbos. So we were looking for a warehouse a few months ago. We had a problem with the warehouse we had. It was a logistic firm that they're supposed to handle everything, and we just had to bring the stuff. They took it and they send it everywhere where they should. But it didn't work. We had a lot of problems. And we didn't know what to do. And we were looking for a warehouse. And we couldn't find what we want, what we need, or too expensive, or too far. And we almost closed on a warehouse. And then we thought, you know what, let's phone this guy that we had a problem with. He was in charge of this logistic firm. And ask him, maybe he knows a warehouse somewhere. And you know, funny enough, this guy gives us a warehouse that was unbelievable. A good price, a good position, not too far. Unbelievable. So sometimes you think to yourself, and today when I look back, what we are doing today is much better than what we did there. In other words, the logistic firm couldn't work for us. It wasn't suitable for us. But we thought it will be good. God told us it's not good. And we thought at that time, wow, what a terrible situation we are. People are not getting the stuff and people are shouting and what should we do? And at the end of the day, it all lead us to what? To a much better position. And a lot of time, sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't see it. But we have to understand that even if we don't see it, whatever God is doing is for our good. So if you are now, you had a problem and now the problem is solved, of course you say thank you for solving the problem, God solved you the problem. But you have also taken in your mind that you're also saying thank you for the whole situation. And you do it from your whole heart, which is not so easy. For example, say thank you. Saying thank you to a stranger is very easy. But dafka, saying thank you to those who are near us, to our family, is quite hard. To say thank you to our kids, to say thank you to our parents, to say thank you to the husband, to the wife. And sometimes those people are the closest to you, and when there is a problem, they are the first people to be there, to help you. But you take it as granted. And it's very hard for you, spiritually, like to say thank you. And this is exactly the point. Those are the people you said thank you before all the other people. As we say, charity starts at home, not over there. So dafka, those close friends and those people who help you all the time, you should say thank you and thank you and thank you again. Because this is exactly the idea of saying thank you. And of course, to say thank you to God. They say today, this morning I just was talking about it, there is the Mizmor LeTodah. That's a mizmor that we say instead of the sacrifice of the todah of thanksgiving. Is mizmor todah is that we sing to God and bless Him and say thank you. And this say the our sages say that all the korbanot will be cancelled, korban todah will not be cancelled. All the prayers will be cancelled, and the prayer of todah is not going to be cancelled because it's a basic thing, akarat hatov. To be grateful. That's a basic thing in life, especially if you're Jewish. That's being in a mensch. So, they say that Baal Shem Tov, he lost his parents when he was very young, and a simple family raised him up. They adopted him, raised him up. They didn't know to read and write, but they were always saying thank you to God for everything they had. Simple people. And this is the way he grew up and understood how good it does, not only to him, but to God. God loves us that we say thank you to Him. This is being grateful, the same way as parents like when the children are grateful. But they're not always grateful, as we said. That we unfortunately sometimes those are so close to us, those who want more and more and more, and never say thank you. But this is exactly the point. You should say thank you. So what he used to do, he used to go in the street, and say to everybody, Manishma, how are you? And what does he say? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem is thanking God. So he put it like in his a way of life that he's asking people for only one reason, that they will praise God, that they will say, thank God, Todah La'el, Baruch Hashem. And this is a way to think about how interesting it is to think this way. And also, when we look at things in life, we not always see the right picture or we choose to look at the wrong side of the picture. I told you last year, I think this is a very nice story that I saw about a king who wanted his picture. His prophet, he wants his picture. So he did this special thing in the papers, and they gathered all the painters and they did a competition, and the one who won, he's going to get, of course, a nice reward for painting the king's picture. So this guy won this competition, and he comes to the king, they give him a room, and a whole month he paints, and then eventually Baruch Hashem, he's got the painting ready, and they do a whole big thing. They do it in a big hall, and it's on a stage, and the picture is there covered with the curtain, and everybody's invited to sit. And the king comes with all the balagan, with the trumpets. The king comes, goes in, sits at the throne that he's got there, his chair. And he gives the right to the guy, to the painter. Please, bakasha, show us the picture. The guy takes down the curtain, and you see the king exactly as he is. This king has a problem. He had one eye missing and one arm missing, and he was very short. And exactly that's the way he painted him. The king looked at the picture and he got angry. This is the way you see me? Hanging. They hanged him. Everybody was, didn't know what's happening here. But you asked him to paint you, and he painted you. So a month goes by, and the king is very, very sad, because he wanted a picture, and there is no picture. So they do this competition again. But here, now, of course, much less people go to this competition, because they know how the first one ended. So no. Anyway, again, one is winning this competition, and he gets this room, and he gets there, and after a month, he paints the picture. And again, the same thing, everybody's coming. Here they're coming much more people because they want to see what's going to happen this time. And what is this painter going to do? Is he going to draw a different picture? What is it going to look like? And the king comes, oh, big thing, sits. Okay, you can uncover the curtain. Takes the curtain off and they see the king. Unbelievable. Beautiful picture. Two eyes, two arms, tall. Everybody's looking, wow, what a picture. The king looks, what, are you insulting my intelligence? Is this the way I look? Hanging. Now people don't know what's going on here. No, this guy showing the truth was hanged. This guy is making him look much better, was hanged. What's going to be? Okay, a month passes by and the king's got no picture. He wants a picture. So again, but this time, nobody goes. Nobody wants to be killed. They don't know what to do. So, time passes by, and nobody wants to be a part of this thing. So, he raises up the price. And the price comes like a very, very big reward. Still, nobody, who wants to take a risk? No, this king is crazy. A visitor, a tourist, comes around, and he sees the big signs on the street. Oh, he sees the reward. Wow! I'm going on it. And of course, he wins. But because nobody competition, no competition. Nobody wants to be the one who is going to paint this king's picture. So, comes the day, the king's people come and take him to the room, and on the way, he sees everybody's looking at him. Like, he's already dead. He says, what's going on here? Why did they look at him this way? Well, you don't know the story. And they tell him the story. But now he cannot escape. He's on the way there. So, what can he do? He has to paint the picture. Okay. Goes into room. The king sits. And he's starting to paint the picture. Then the king goes. He's doing all the finishes. And after a month, the picture is ready. Now they announced that there's going to be, again, a show. And everybody's going to see the new picture of the king. Now, there was not a space in the streets, not only in the hall. Everybody was coming on. They had big screens outside. The whole country came. Everybody wanted to see what's going to happen this time. Who is going to be hanged this time? The king hardly could come. He hardly could come into the place because the streets were full, crowded. Eventually, the king comes, sits on his throne, and the painter is there, the stage. Picture sits there, covered, says, okay, uncover the picture. Takes the curtain, uncovers this, and they look, and they see a beautiful picture of the king hunting, sitting on a very high horse, and he did a profile from the side that you see only the good eye and the good arm. And the king looks at it and starts clapping. Wow, this is a picture. This is a painter. And rewarded him, and everybody said, you see, in life, it's very easy to see the bad side. It's much harder to see the good side. Sometimes to make the picture not real is also no good. And this is exactly the way we should look at life, with a good eye. Don't look at the bad things. Look at the good things. And by the way, you have to understand, realize, everything comes from God. So at the end of the day, everything is good. And I think that this story is so unbelievable story, like, to show us that you can see things, and you can see things. He didn't lie. He didn't change the king. It was the same king. It was the same picture. But he looked at the good side of the king. And that was what God wants us also to do. He wants us to look at the good, and not at the bad. Don't look for the bad things in life. Look for the good things in life. Unfortunately, there are those people that always look for a new worry. You know, a few years ago I had this lecture of a guy. He says, you have a few thoughts of people in the world. This one is a happy guy. This one is an optimist. This is a pessimist. He says, there are those people that they need to worry all the time. You know those people?
Yeah.
I thought my wife is the same. My wife is the same. She, okay, solved. We will solve the problem. No, she finds always another problem.
And that's our job.
This is our job. And, you know, sometimes you think to yourself, why does she lie to me? But I know it's hard. But we have to work on ourselves. We have to understand and realize that, first of all, we don't control things. There is only one who controls the things. It's God. And if we really believe in it, we know that God is our Father. He loves us. So whatever He is doing is for our own good. You know, when you see a small kid goes to the touch to the electricity in the wall, you hit him. Because if you don't hit him, he won't realize that something is wrong. But did you do it because you hate him? Of course not. You did it because you love him. And when you educate the kids, the same thing. You know, sometimes people like, okay, let him. What's let him? I had a cousin. He was a very rich guy. He had restaurants all over Israel. And he was all the time in his business. And his kids used to give them presents and everything. And let's say, there was no connection, real connection between them. And the results, unfortunately, were there. He had a son, and the son was going into drugs, and he was going to jail, out of jail. And you know, it came from a very good family. But there was no family. There was no home. There was no father. There was no father there. The father was always outside. It's like this, the guy who was very high in, how do you say?
Government?
Not in the government, in one of those, Agudot, could come. He was helping people all the time, a charity guy. Right? And really he was busy the whole time. One day he gets a phone from his kid. He says, hello, Abba. He says, why do you phone me? You are in the other room. He says, I cannot talk with you otherwise. You're only answering phones, so I'm phoning you. Maybe I can have a talk with you. And unfortunately, this is also something that happens. And we have to take it and understand that everything starts at home. As I said, the hardest thing is to say thank you to those who are close to you. But you have to say thank you. Not only to God, you have to say thank you to everybody who helps you. And even if you say it once and twice, it's, you know, even you see people go across the road. Some people do like this, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, something is going to happen if you are saying thank you. Some people do, he has to stop for you. Okay, so what? You still can say thank you. a friend of my wife, she told us a very interesting, they had a lecture a week ago about being angry and how it influences your body inside, your physical situation, with a graph, and they saw, unbelievable, when you're angry, when you in competition, and we try to do things, the situation inside is no good. No good. So, what is the solution? Calm down. People don't realize it. People don't realize if you are relaxing, and if you are happy, there is an influence on your health. Because a lot of problems that we have are because we are not satisfied, we are angry, we are in competition, we're trying to do things that we cannot do, or we get angry about our friends. And this all is not healthy. Not healthy. There are so many research on this, and it's a fact. If you want to live long, and if you want to be happy, if you are happy with what you've got, if you don't get angry on everything in life, you live much longer and much better life. So he told them, for example, you go on the road. Don't know who drives here, or used to drive. This is a mission. In Israel especially. It's unbelievable. If you go one day without shouting, without getting angry, you are a ish chesed. You are a tzaddik. Because you can't believe what's happening. You go on the road. This guy, whoop, comes out. Unbelievable, on all those bicycles and things. And you get angry all very quickly. You get very angry.
Hello.
Anyway.
Sorry, I'm disturbing.
Yes, you are.
Okay, we have 2 minutes. In those 2 minutes, well, I want to tell you, he told them.
Definitely angry.
Yeah, I know. What is, exactly. So what do? If we want to keep our health, we have to try not to get angry. He says, for example, you're coming out of the parking lot, and everybody wants to be first, especially if they, and they, whatever he's told them, let the other one, he wants to go in, let him go. And you know, you won't believe it. After a few minutes, you feel good. You feel good that you gave him. No, but he was, when you do this, you are, it's no good. But when you give him, now, they were all now going out. There was this lecture, there were all, a lot of people there. Now, they're all parking in the parking lot, and they're all going out now. It's a whole big thing. Everybody wants to go out. And because they were in the atmosphere of the lecture, everybody was giving the other, okay, go, go. It took them 2 hours to get out of the parking lot. But they felt good. I know it's a big lesson. The way we behave to others, to be thankful, is also to be thankful of everything you've got. And if you thankful to other people, you also behave differently. I hope that we all will learn a little lesson. I know it's not easy. I'm getting angry. We're all getting angry. And we're now going, who knows what we're going, yes. But
we can hook up together.
But yes. I think I told you last week that when you get angry, don't get angry on your friends, on the closest to you. If you get angry, if you need to get angry on something else or somebody else, not on your family, because those are the people that love you and you love them. So if you're angry and you cannot control it, take it out on her.
On the same vein, I want to say it's much more difficult to say sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing. One thing, but sorry is very difficult.
You know what the problem is? Sorry and thank you are very close. Why?
Yeah.
When I say thank you, it means that you did something for me. And I don't want to owe you anything. It's something in our heart. We don't want to owe anybody nobody. It's very easy for us to give somebody something. We feel good. But when we take something from somebody, we don't like it so much. That's why it's hard for us to say thank you. The same way is sorry. If you did something wrong, I did something wrong. No. It's all connected with our ego.
Some people cannot say sorry.
No, cannot say sorry. It's a problem.
They will do anything around.
We talked it a lot.
Not to say
yes. And they will do a mistake and another mistake and another mistake. But they won't admit we did a mistake. We don't want to say sorry. We are sitting here to learn and try to be a little better. I hope that we learn something.